This is a replay of the Tuesday night, August 20th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, so let's make the most of it. Please call 888-876-5593. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, providing it has no consequence whatsoever. And before we get into anything, a couple things I wanted to say. For one, I got an email from Kia, and Kia is Renard Miner's daughter. Renard passed away. You know, I was talking about him just a couple weeks ago when we were playing one of his songs, and I thought, he hasn't called in a while. Well, sadly, he died on the 4th of April, 4-4, and his celebration of life was on April 19th. Yeah, day of infamy, that's for sure. And we are going to, in the next couple weeks, spend quite a lot of time talking about Renard. And everybody remembers him for things like Rescue Me or Your Love Keeps Lifting Me Higher and Higher, and I understand that. But if you go to discos.com and take a look, just put in Renard Miner, you will discover that he has credits on 778 songs. All right, so we're talking about, and by the way, these aren't all different songs. In some cases, they're album cuts of the same song or things like that. But nonetheless, 778 songs. So we'll have a lot to talk about. But I'm just brokenhearted about this. Renard used to call us occasionally. He was just the nicest guy and so talented. And so rest in peace, Renard Miner. A big thanks to Kia for telling us. But this was news I did not want to hear. And apparently Soulful Detroit had a whole thing on it in April that I missed. I've since printed the whole thing out, obviously. But I don't know how I missed it. But in some ways, I'm glad I am. I did because, of course, painful. But he'll be with us in spirit. And the good news is his music will live on forever. All right. So we've got Dennis. We've got Marianne. We've got Eric in Joshua Tree. He's got a story for us. James on the South Side. And yes, that job. I'll be talking about that job. I haven't forgotten that. $100,000 a year. Maybe it's for you. Wait until you hear the details. You may be qualified, that's for sure. It doesn't take a whole lot, but oh, man. All right, so Dennis in Little Rock, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Well, I hate following bad news.
Yeah. Well, but... on the good news, a big happy birthday to you last week.
Oh, somebody told you.
Yes, yes. They even divulged your age, which I will not. But but all I can say is you're a youngster. How nice.
Well, I'll have to take care of them later. But thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful moon arising over the lush Arkansas fields tonight. While I was sneaking around radio transmitting sites, and I sent you an email just recently. You probably haven't seen it yet.
No, but, I haven't. So you went to the KWY site.
Yes, yes.
What'd you find?
Well, it used to be three towers. Yeah. I could only find two. They're okay. Hard to miss. The uh-huh. Darn things are like 400 feet tall, which yeah. Means that's a half like, waves.
Or full waves.
Well, yeah, that's a two half waves. It was three half waves. But, you know, we wondered if it was operating under the STL. It appears it is. Because I was there on site when they dropped power.
Okay.
And it was a very klutzy transition from 50 kilowatts down to 80. But that's another subject. And it's all automated. I don't think anybody ever goes to the site. The access road to it was overgrown. There were weeds up on the gates. Beautiful old brick building on the site. I didn't get real close to it. I didn't go over there any fences or anything.
I'm looking at the pictures now. And by the way, the most interesting picture to me is the first one that tells me that they don't own their tower site. They sold it to Vertical Bridge.
Oh, they did.
Yep, they don't own it.
That sign doesn't say Vertical Bridge, does it?
The hell it doesn't. Vertical Bridge site name, KAAY site number, and I can give you that, FCC tower ID, owned by Vertical Bridge. And then, it has the tower registration. The rusted sign next to it is the tower registration numbers, but the site is...
I was looking at the rust, and I wasn't paying attention to Vertical Bridge. I would have seen that had I looked.
That's the sign right next to it. You sent it, and you'll see it. And it's very interesting to me because, of course, so many of these companies, and of course today KAAY is owned by Cumulus, have to lower their debt, have sold things like their tower sites, and I always think it's a terrible idea. But if they're still operating from it, if the tower fell down and it belonged to Vertical Bridge might have said, we're not replacing it.
Well, either that or they took it down and sold it.
Well, there is that. Right. There is that. But more than likely, it came down on its own, and they're just not going to do anything about it.
Well, it's a beautiful piece of property. It's very remote. Land values out there, I can tell by the neighborhoods that exist around, are very low. It's a very poor neighborhood, and it's quite a ways from any houses. I can't see much development happening out there. There's only a few houses that look like they're worth more than $50,000.
Right.
So it would take, maybe somebody could build a resort way back there because it's very lush and very green and very isolated.
Oh, it's isolated. I went to this site when I was a teenager. I remember it well, when I used to love to go to tower sites. And, of course, I used to listen to KAAY, which made Little Rock sound like the big time. And, I got to go see this one. Oh, my God. You know, you get off at the airport, and, like, there's just no way, especially if you don't drive, you got to take a cab. This is a long, long, long ride.
Yeah, it's about 13 miles from the airport.
Yeah. Yeah, easy. And so, they used to operate right there at night, and I guess to save on an extra engineer and all that would operate.
Now, what was
from
their
the
format when you were
top 40
listening?
Top 40.
Well, they must have had a killer signal because, I thought 80 watts, they'll never get to 15 miles into town at night.
Bet they do.
But with that kind of, a half-wave tower really lays a signal down. And it worked pretty well. But as I got into town, it only started to fade a little bit when I went under a bridge or under a low-hanging power line. But it did a decent job.
No, it looks like a real nice tower. I'm looking at it and how it's guyed. It looks very nice. Now, to its right, I see a much smaller cellular tower. That looks pretty busy.
Well, that cellular tower, I think, is just the STL tower.
Oh, you don't think there's more on it than that?
Okay, well, I should look at my own pictures closely. I just rushed them out to you just before I called.
Oh, yeah, you should look at them all. Yeah, good job. Good job.
Well, the STL tower has got ivy growing all the 50 feet up to it, and it's lapping at the bottom of the dish. So they don't spend a lot of time with it.
And I do see the ivy, and yes, that might give credence to your theory that it's just an STL tower, because you'd think they'd take a little better care of it.
Yeah. And then while I was, I'm out here because my airplane is having a very large, extensive, 4.5-month-long inspection, and it's all torn apart, so I'm down here looking at that. And I was, as it was at the shop today, and I was walking by this random FM receiver that one of the workers had on, and I stopped when, just as I walked by it, they're announcing a change in ownership of the station. And the announcer said, I will no longer remain at the station. However, the format will change.
Wow.
Will not change. And it's KKSP. It's a little FM in
93.3. Wow.
It's Cumulus also.
Yeah. Well, now, they have to make those pre-sale announcements, but the jock doesn't have to say he's not staying.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Not usually in the verbiage. Now, let's talk about the plane a minute, because when Bill Clinton was first elected and there were all these different supposed scandals and all this, I decided I would do the quote-unquote Whitewater tour. And so I went to the MENA airport. And have you been there?
Oh, I have not, but I know the stories.
Yeah, well, firstly, there were all no trespassing all over it, and they spelled offense the British way, not the American way, and I thought that was interesting, too.
Yeah.
But what was strange about it was it looked like it could easily land heavy iron. I mean, this could land anything there. And someone later said, well, you know, that's mostly for repair and all. I didn't see anything being repaired when I was there, but I didn't know what you knew.
No, it's out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
No, I have no reason to go there, and I don't want to get shot at, but that's about it.
You won't, by the way. And there's a decent Pizza Hut there. Now, as far as getting shot, the Whitewater property, that's a different story.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, I always thought of iHeart synonymous with, Clear Channel.
Yeah.
But I guess iHeart streams programming from other owners.
Absolutely. A lot of it.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of noticing that as I'm going through these.
Yeah. No, they would like to transfer a lot of their revenue to that. I can't claim they're anywhere near ready to claim it's a big deal, but absolutely. It was launched, iHeartRadio was launched as, all-in-one audio service, and that's been for like 14, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just know the Clear Channel rebranded itself iHeart, but I don't listen to it, so I don't, I don't know.
Supposedly, I know their deal is they supposedly say they're the largest ad-enabling streaming music service. Now, my interest in streaming and anything digital, by the way, is pretty much nil, so somebody else would have to explain that. But the bottom line is that I know they would like to be thought of as digital media because, of course, being terrestrial media, when you're talking to investors and stuff like that, is somewhat past tense.
Yep. It's not a big deal.
Yep.
A lot of expense for a limited, limited audience.
So I was going to say there's a ton of people on it. I mean, a lot of product on that. Yes.
Yep. But not on terrestrial.
No.
I mean, terrestrial's going away.
Yeah, pretty much.
Going away, but I'm still trying to keep it alive. I want to, my action-packed expense account took me to Mexico City 2 weeks ago now.
No.
And I was very unenthused about the trip. I really don't care that much for much of Mexico. I spent a lot of time in the southern tip of Baja. But I was very impressed. We stayed right downtown.
Where?
And I thought I was in Hawaii. The weather was absolutely beautiful. The restaurants, the downtown scene, the businesses. I must have walked 20 miles all around that town just looking at all kinds of stuff, and it felt very comfortable. And being that it's at 7,000-8,000 feet, the weather was perfect.
Right, I was going to mention that because it's at like 7,400 feet. So walking in that, good for you, because a lot of people get altitude sickness.
Well, I live at 9,000, so 7,500 is a walk in the park.
Uh-huh.
But the weather is the point I was talking about. You think of Mexico in the middle of summer? What are you nuts? Well. Mexico City is very nice. They've done it's upscale. It's now the suburbs. I will tell you, we rode in a bulletproof limo from Toluca Airport all the way into town. That's just because that's what that provider normally does. It's not that we requested it.
Uh-huh.
But Mexico City Airport is no longer open to private aircraft. It's commercial only. So now we have to land out at Toluca. So it's about a 40-minute drive through areas that I wouldn't want to stay.
Yeah.
But downtown Mexico City has their act together. And if somebody wants to go on a budget and out of the country without having to go all the way to Hawaii, I might recommend it.
All right. Yeah, I had an adopted uncle who lived and died at the Hotel Casablanca in Mexico City.
Oh, no.
So. Yeah, so on money he stole from me, but that's another story. In any event, so I knew it through that. And the Hotel Casablanca is still there, amazingly.
Is it? Well, next time I go, I'll check it out.
Yeah, you'll have to check it out because, yes, my information, of course, I'm talking 60 years ago. But even so, it's still there. I look it up every now and then again.
Well, there was a lot of upscale stuff there. I mean, I stayed at a really nice Marriott. There's a... Oh, I mean, there's Bentley dealerships there, Mercedes dealerships, Porsche, you know, so there's money there, and they keep it nice, but I'm talking about downtown.
Right, because you've got over 8.5 million people.
Yeah, it's one of the largest cities in North America. Yeah,
exactly. So, of course, and you're right, downtown, that's nice, but you can go to areas that, yeah, you won't want to walk there.
Yep. And the Zona Rosa is very close. Right. I only touch the edges of that. I've been to there before, but no, there's a lot to see, a lot of walking. It's just, and great Italian food, Greek food, whatever you want. It's all within walking distance of any of the hotels.
Yeah. Neat. So,
all right. Well, good night to you in the Midwest, and we'll talk to you another time.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it, Dennis, and thanks for the report on the KWY site.
Happy to do it. It was
all right.
Fun.
Good deal. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, another one bites the dust, vertical bridge. Oh, well. We'll get to Marianne in Chicago. Eric and Joshua Tree. We're going to find out about Maxwell and more coming up on WGN Radio.
That's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Gets more while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's Billie Holiday. That's the original. She co-wrote it 1941 on OK, and it was Linda and Richardson Park who had requested that. And actually, my favorite version of that song, and of course, later it was a pop song, Blood, Sweat, and Tears did and all that, but my favorite version of that song actually was 1950 on Mercury, also Shellac of 78, when Frankie Lane did it.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong gets more while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets.
Nice stuff. And we'll be back with Marianne, Eric, James, and hopefully you too. Check out the news right now on WGN Radio.
You're casting your spell on me. I say, boogum, 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 boogum now, baby. You're casting your spell on me. You got me doing funny things like a clown. Just look at me. When you wear your high heel boots with your hip hugger suit, it's all right. You're out of sight. And you wear that cute mini skirt with your brother's sloppy shirt. I admit it, girl, that I can't dig it. Then I said, boogum, 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 boogum now, baby, you're casting your spell on me. I say, boogum, 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 boogum,
Welcome now, baby, you're casting your spell on me. You've got me doing funny things like a clown. Just look at me. When you wear your bell-bottom pants, I just stand there in a trance. I can't move. You're in the groove. Would you believe, little girl, that I'm crazy about you? Now go now with your bad self.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Fran in Austin is, as am I, a big Brenton Wood fan. Yeah, Alfred Smith was his name. It was originally a high school, like a track star or some sport, and wound up singing as Little Freddie in the Rockets originally. And he ran into the guy who owned Double Shot Records, Irwin Zucker, Promotion in Motion, an independent promotion guy. And it was Irwin who gave him a song called Casting My Spell on You, and it was terrible. And so Wood rewrote it, and there it was, the Oogum Boogum song. And it was Zucker who got him to change his name to Brenton Wood after the suburb Brentwood. But but it worked for him, that's for sure. And he was on bills in the latter 60s with everyone from Motown to Janis Joplin. And still, at least, it was a couple of years ago, I'll have to check, but as of a couple of years ago, was still going strong. I hope so, anyway. All right, so Marianne in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, what's happening?
Well, I'm kind of in a little bit of a shock right now.
Why?
Well, I was going to make two requests for songs. And Oogum Boogum was one of them.
Oh, well, good. All right. So see that? Oogum Boogum, we cast our spell on you, and it worked.
Yeah, I was thinking of that song all day long.
All right.
I said, let me call and see if you make a couple of requests, and then I'm on hold, and all of a sudden I hear the lead in. I'm like, no way.
Yeah, good. Well, all right, so we fulfilled that one. What's the other one?
Well, the other one is, if you don't mind, A Rainy Night in Georgia.
Okay. Now, it won't be tonight, but it'll be this week.
Okay. And then, this is the first reason I called. I saw on the internet the other day, PSOP by MFSB.
Yes.
Was the first, you probably know this, the first song that was a theme song for a TV show to hit the charts.
I don't think that's true.
Oh, you mean they don't tell the truth on the internet?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of theme songs that hit the charts before that.
You do, huh?
Absolutely, I do. So I'll have to look at that later and check years. But yeah, absolutely, I have trouble believing that was the first.
Okay. Well, you know, I only have one good eye, so maybe.
Well, no, I mean, what, you know,
you could have said one of the first.
When you read it online, I mean, who knows? But but I'll check that out because I would tend to think not.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm pretty sure not. I'm going to see if there's a quick search that will tell us. Let's see. Okay. Don't know. And I got a lot of things that are there, but like theme from SWAT, and that was later, and Welcome Back, Cotter, and that was later. But how about Hawaii 5-0? You see, remember that? The Ventures,
yeah,
Hawaii 5-0?
They still have the same song on the new version.
Right. But Hawaii 5-0 would be older.
You think so?
Oh, of course I do. Of course I do. So let's excuse me. I'm choking here. I'm trying to look it up to see Hawaii 5-0. 1968 was the album for Hawaii 5-0 by The Venture. So yeah, it was a 60s deal.
And when did Soul Train come out?
1970.
Oh, a couple months.
Years.
Oh, 68, you said, right?
Yeah, right. And I think that was for the album. I think Soul Train, actually, the first show was October 71 and for syndication. Now, it had been on CIU TV for a year before, so I still go with 1970.
Okay.
But for syndication, 71. Now let's look that up. Okay. Well, I'm right about syndication 71 to 2006. Not bad. But when did it start on WCIU? Okay. All right. That's interesting. Soul Train, the origins can be traced to WCIU in 1965 with Kitty Agogo and Red Hot and Blues.
Oh, my God.
But that's a stretch, okay? So Don Cornelius was doing news at VON at that time, and he was hired by CIU. You know, it was an independent. It was a UHF station, so everybody and their brother, right? And he was working there, and it was like 67, 68, and doing record hops and, you know, all the things you would do. And he at his hops, which were mostly like at Chicago Area High School, he was calling his traveling caravan of shows the Soul Train. And that's where the name came from, by the way, because he was doing these record hops. But that was 1970. And let's see. Okay. Sears and Roebuck sponsored it. Soul Train premiered on WCIU on August 17th, 1970.
Oh, my. You know what?
What?
That's the exact same date I started my first day at the phone company.
Wow. Well, that was the first day.
Exactly.
Weekday,
oh, my God.
Weekday afternoons. It was all black and white. And the absolute first episode was Jerry Butler, The Chi-Lites, and The Emotions. Chi-Lites, I should say. So, yeah.
And wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
so,
I'm really getting that education. I told you.
So that was
1970. You're an EI station.
Yeah. So I would say anyone, and I have a feeling you'll if you read it online, you'll probably read it online in a lot of places. But I think, I'm going to look it up in discos now, the Ventures Hawaii 50 would be before it.
Okay.
And I don't think that's the first. I'd have to guess.
Yeah, it's possible I read it wrong. And
no,
and
it's probably
scanned over it too fast. It could have been one of the first few or something.
It's probably in there. No, I'm sure you'll see it where they say, oh, it's this, but, you know, look further. So
yeah, if it pops up again, I'll pay more attention.
Yeah, yeah, but the Hawaii Five-O album, that, but the single was out before the album, but still that was 68. So, before MFSB. All right, well, glad we had this little chat.
Okay, me okay, too. Thanks. Good night, everybody.
Appreciate it. All right. So in a moment here, we're going to hear all about Maxwell. Yeah, Maxwell the Wonder Dog and Eric from Joshua Tree, who had quite the scare of his own that we'll hear about. But right now, I was looking at the Sea Crane catalog earlier. And like I say, the one thing about it is great information as well as great products. And I was looking about how to make a simple, powerful AM loop antenna for free. And they've got full do-it-yourself instructions and more. And that's the neat thing about the catalog. There's a lot of great information as well as great products. And one of the things I'd like you to look at is the CC Skywave SSB2, which is a wonderful emergency radio as far as that goes. I'm turning the page right now so I can look at the picture while we're talking. Here we are. Oh, it's beautiful. And I like it because it literally fits in the palm of your hand, but it's all digital. And, you know, it's got, of course, like every radio that Bob Crane develops, it has terrific AM and FM reception. You're just not going to beat it. And that's just wonderful. But in addition to that, it's got all the things you would want for emergency radios. The weather band, NOAA weather, of course, and an alert. Scannable VHF aviation band. Kind of nice when you're traveling. And yeah, find out what they're really doing. And single sideband, which is a lot of fun as well. So it's extensive and accurate coverage. Makes it an emergency radio and a travel radio like nothing else. And you will get information you won't hear anywhere else. And the aviation band has 10 presets for it, so you continuously scan for activity or pick the presets you like. And the tuning is accurate to 10 hertz resolution, so that's really nice. There's a rotary volume dial, stereo headphone jack, a clock, an alarm, a sleep timer, a dial light, all those things. 400 memory presets, adjustable squelch, lighted LCD, and so much more. It runs on a couple of AA batteries for about 65 hours. There's also an optional AC adapter should you want. But included is the CC wire terminal antenna for better shortwave reception and a portable 23-foot CC shortwave reel antenna, which is nice, and the high-quality original CC earbuds. So that's great, not to mention a little leather carrying case, fake leather, of course, but nice. So all of this makes it a terrific travel radio and a wonderful companion. And if you can go to ccradio.com, I hope you will. ccradio.com. Look at the CC Skywave SSB2. Now, if you can't go online, they got the world's best customer service. You can call them anytime, day or night. Someone will answer all your questions and anything you need to know. And you can order on the phone, or they'll send you a hard copy of the catalog absolutely free. And that's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE, 522-TUNE. Or better yet, if you can go online, ccradio.com, look at that CC Skywave SSB2, you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Well, all I want is party doll. Come along with me when I'm feeling wild. To be ever loving, true and fair. To run her fingers through my hair. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. I'll make love to you, I'll make love to you. Well, I saw a gal walking down the street, the kind of a gal I'd love to meet. She had blonde hair and eyes blue. Baby, I wanna have a party with you. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Every man has gotta have a party doll to be with him, but when he's feeling wild, to be ever loving, true and fair, to run her fingers through his hair, to run her fingers through his hair. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll.
Recorded in Clovis, given to Moish Levy at Roulette, and on the radio within months, 1957 on Roulette. Buddy Knox and Party Doll and Cindy in Chicago requested that, and now she's heard it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Eric in Joshua Tree, it's been a while, and you have stories.
It has. Hi, Raleigh. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh,
yeah, I think
so
I called in February when I had the polycythemia diagnosis and Maxwell had his benign cyst.
Right. Now, I understand Maxwell's facing some difficulties here. What's going on?
He sure has. July 31st, he had a massive stroke.
Oh,
he was tilted to the left. His eyes were almost closed. He was wandering in circles, just really disoriented. He couldn't eat or drink. He tried to, but his little tongue couldn't reach the bowl, or he couldn't see, or he was just really in bad shape.
We should mention, by the way, for people who don't remember,
yes.
Maxwell is a 19-year-old Yorkie mix, Maltese mix, and so we are talking
yes.
a dog here. So if anybody's just tuning in and saying,
yeah.
you know, eating out of his bowl and tilting, yeah, all right, this is a small dog. All right, carry on.
He is. I adopted him in 2007.
Uh-huh.
And so I ran. My neighbor is a retired RN. She came over. I'm disabled. I have a caregiver. I could not have driven.
Yeah.
I was just inconsolable. But she rushed here and took us to the vet. Really not pleased with the vet, but they didn't really do any tests. And they didn't do any tests. I said to the tech, did you do any mobility tests, any assessments at all? Well, no, he was just napping in the kennel. The doctor came in and said, we're not giving him any medications. Take him home. If he dies, bring him in. We'll help you cremate him. Or if he gets so bad, we'll put him down for you.
Oh, great.
So I said my goodbyes. I prayed. I talked to him. I told him stories. I asked him questions. And the second day, his eyes opened a little bit. The third day, a little more. And here the little fella has made a comeback. I mean, he's not quite the same as he was. He's having difficulty walking. It seems like it takes him an effort to concentrate on his walking.
Mm-hmm.
But he's alive, and he's happy. He plays with his babies. He eats.
All right.
And I'm amazed at it. He's the most amazing person I know.
Yeah, or amazing being we know anyway. So yeah,
being, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Oh man, so maybe not a full comeback, but certainly comeback enough that he's a great companion, and you'd like not to lose him.
That's right. I don't think he wanted to leave. He sure tried hard. He's fighting strongly.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at 19 years old, we both know the day is going to come and it won't be in the terribly distant future, but there's no reason to rush it.
No. That's right. Yeah.
Right.
So.
So now,
and,
of course,
you know,
you're disabled and you're on assistance. So with that in mind, I take it that this has, you left the vet, but somewhere along the way, the vet got involved again and you've got vet bills?
Well, I have a $500 vet bill that I paid, but okay. That left me short with everything else, of
right.
course. And I sort of started a little GoFundMe thing. It's not, I'm not trying to beg for money, but I'm just trying to pay my neighbor back and get our bills met.
Okay, so if I go to GoFundMe, what do I do now? What do I look for?
I don't know. I've never done it before. Well, his title of his page is called "Donate to Maxwell's Vet Care." A service dog's fight.
Donate.
And I don't know if you want my last name. But
no,
I'm
no,
Josh.
Not.
Yeah, yeah, donate.
To Max. Yeah. Here we are. All you have to do is donate to Maxwell's _S, and it comes up right away. Donate to Maxwell's service dog's fight. There's a cute little picture right here of Maxwell. And you are, your name is there, Eric. And very good. All right. Well, good luck.
And there's pictures and the whole story about it.
Yeah.
But thank you for that. And a lot more has happened to me. I was dosed with fentanyl against my will.
Now, how did that happen?
Okay, I do, on my own, I do grassroots street outreach in my community, and I bring food, water, and dog food to the homeless encampments and some of the drug houses in our area in San Bernardino County.
Okay.
And this is an example of don't take candy from a stranger's. Once in a while, I smoke pot. And you can get it anywhere in California legally. But
this guy
gave me a joint, and it was laced with fentanyl. I called 911. The police and the ambulance came. I really felt really weird.
Well, yeah.
This is not okay. I think I'm going to die here.
Right.
And I didn't want to go. I didn't want to leave Max. And so the ambulance driver said, I think you should come with me because you're either going to call me back or you're not going to be able to.
Uh-oh.
And I looked at the cop, and the cop says, are you going to go? I said, yes. So I don't know what they gave me. They took a lot of tests. They gave me an IV drip bag, and I started feeling better, like, after 20 minutes of that IV thing.
Thank God it wasn't.
It's really
if it had been a bigger amount, we might not be having this conversation. But that is scary.
Exactly.
But that tells you right there that, you know, the old thing we tell kids about don't take candy from strangers. Well, the bottom line is anything that you can ingest, don't accept it from a stranger.
Yep.
You know, I'm sorry it's come to this, and there's a lot of very nice and well-meaning people, but don't do it.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad you're still with us.
Pretty scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And the other thing I wanted to mention, I think a lot of your listeners may be also, some of them on disability. I'm on SSI and regular Social Security disability.
Okay.
And I've been going to school at the community college, which hasn't worked out because they can't keep staff, for social work.
Okay.
Now I'm in a new private training program, which I'm scholarshiped in.
Good.
But there's a program that I found out called PASS that came out in 1972 or 3, PASS, Plan to Achieve Self-Support, administered by Social Security Administration. I got $10,000 for the down payment on my accessible vehicle this year.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah.
That's wonderful.
And people, they don't advertise that program. Not even the social workers know about it.
But you can look,
I would suggest
you can look it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, in a search, if you just put PASS, Plan to Achieve Self-Support, first thing you get is the Social Security Administration page that talks about it. And then there's SSI Spotlight on it as well. You can get a lot of information on PASS. And it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's if you were disabled or if you're blind and if you qualify for SSI, their main purpose is to help you find employment, return to work. And so there is, you know, that's a great thing. Hang on a minute.
It's a good resource.
Don't
yeah.
go away.
Sure.
So we are, and because I think the news is coming up in moments right here on WGN Radio. James Dupreez, yeah, the late Joey Vann on lead. And as I mentioned before, the Dupreez are one of the only groups I know who, when they appeared on stage, sounded exactly like their records. And I remember they were touring in 62, little venues, that like community centers, I think, like, no one would care about. I remember there was one where they had like Candy and the Kisses, only it wasn't really Candy and the Kisses. It was a guy playing the role of Candy and the Kisses, but nonetheless. And people like that, and here come the Dupreez, and they previewed Have You Heard, and I couldn't believe how good it sounded. Like I say, very few people in person can do that, and man, did they. And then when Coed released it a couple months later, it was just terrific. And Bill in Watertown wanted to hear it, and yeah, lots of memories on that, and lots of just great, great, great song. Now, of course, the Joni James pop standard is wonderful, don't get me wrong, but man, the Dupreez, they just nailed it. All right, so we're talking to Eric in Joshua Tree, who is no longer taking anything from strangers, who is taking good care of Maxwell. Yeah, ever again, is taking good care of Maxwell and the PASS program. Now, what I knew about the PASS program was it was designed originally so people on SSI could bank money that wouldn't count against them, that they would put toward education or vocational technical advancement to have better jobs. But you're saying they also will give you money?
Well, it's an assistive devices, anything you need to support your endeavor to become gainfully employed.
Right.
And how they're working it now is that, it's the government. So they can reach back in time and grab money from somewhere in the past. I don't know how they're doing it, but the paperwork is complicated. Every jot and tittle needs to be thoroughly done correctly. Mm. And it took me a lot of research. It's about a 12-page application and then some. But if you can get help with it, it's not like they give you money, but it's not like you're banking it away. That's what I assumed, and that's what I had read.
Right. The nice thing about it is one of the hardest things about being on SSI is that you're literally between a rock and a hard place because, you can't earn any money for the most part, or you lose the benefits. And this is a way to set aside the money and not have it count against the benefits.
Yeah.
Which is real good.
And say you come up with a plan to say that you're going to put away, you get $1,000 a month in SSI maybe or something like that, and then you're going to put away $800 a month. That gets reimbursed to you every month. And then that other money, that $800, can be banked up. But with me, they've been reaching into the past and just pulling money from, I don't know how they're doing it, but the $10,000 was a great down payment on that car, or that SUV.
That's
brand
great.
New car.
That's great.
Chevy.
So, yeah, I would say that you're right. The application and filling that out is onerous, to say the least, but sounds like well worth it.
Very well worth it.
That's great.
And they've been helping me with my school funding, and I'm in a new training program now, and they're supporting that. Also, the Department of Voc Rehab in all the states.
Uh-huh.
I'm hooked up with California now, and so they just bought me a new desk, a new computer, so I can do this this new training.
That's great.
So there's help out there. You just have to be really resilient and persistent, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. In some areas, they'll have people who can kind of guide you through it, but in other areas, you're really kind of on your own about finding it.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's great information. But it sounds like you're on the path to a wonderful rest of the year.
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
I want to get off of this poverty level and get some work, get some decent work, decent paying job.
That'd be great. Well, keep me posted.
Yeah,
I want to know.
Program yeah, I will.
Yeah, and I want to know about Maxwell. And I assume your health is now back to pre-fentanyl days.
I'm sort of coming out of the fog of that. It took a minute. It took a couple weeks.
Oh, I would think August. You. And you were lucky because a lot of people, man, a stronger dose, you wouldn't be talking to me.
Well, no, there was a Marine that died on us out here in the fields. I call it the tent places, and we got him back to life. It took 4 Narcans and 4 people. We got him back to life, though.
So. Wow.
So it's dangerous. Yeah.
Absolutely. So be careful and check in again soon.
Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Have a good night.
You too.
All
right. So there you go. And you can check out Maxwell's GoFundMe page. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And Jim got his test results. All right, Jim in Richmond, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you tonight?
I'm frustrated, but I wanted to tell you about the test.
Yeah.
I called Friday because they said they were going to call me, and then they said, well, he hasn't read the results yet. So then 20 minutes later, they call back and say, everything was normal. But if you have chest pains, give us a call right away. And instead of a year, we're going to book your appointment for 6 months. And that's how they left it.
Well, that's interesting.
And then funny thing was, Bear dragged me out of the house today to go around the block.
Yeah.
And that's what started this whole thing going up that hill. But I went down the hill and went around the block, and my legs gave out.
Whoa.
Because there's so many inclines and everything. But my chest and everything was fine. And so I was happy about that. And he usually just runs, you know, 15 feet to the tree and back, and this was the first time he's gotten to run around, and he was very happy.
Oh, I'll
bet.
And
then he just came home and fell asleep.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, no, that's great because he gets to be a dog, so that was fun.
Right. And then I have a few other things that I would ask you to help me with.
What?
First off, today they had a special election for our treasurer, and the story behind that is insignificant. But on August 15th, I didn't go to the primary because I was scared how it would go out. But this was just one vote between two people.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Char's daughter took me, and we went there. And they said, you need help? You need help? No, I'm fine. And I'm going to use my magnifier on my phone. And they said, well, some other people did that because they don't like you to take a phone into a polling box. So I aimed the phone, and I got the candidate I wanted, but I couldn't get the pen to go to where while looking through the phone. I got so frustrated, and it came out just squiggly lines all in the little circle. And then I showed it. I held it up to the girls waiting far away, and they go, well, just put it in the machine. If it works, it works. So I put it in the machine, and it worked.
Oh, thank God.
So then I talked to a few people, and we all decided that in November I'm getting an absentee ballot, and I can take my time at home.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
But I live in a little town. I don't know if they do absentee ballots.
Oh, of course they do.
I have to look into that.
The other thing is, remember, you are disabled as far as that goes. There have got to be provisions for that.
Well, they said they have magnifiers, but they don't work, you know, for me.
Yeah, but that. What if you were completely blind? I mean, they have to have provisions.
Right. And they said that we'll come over there and help you, and I didn't want her to point at the thing, just call her this spot here, and it was not the candidate I wanted.
Well, of course.
That, you know?
Of course. No, you couldn't control that. Of course.
Right. And then what he was talking about, this pass, is that anything I should look into?
I don't know. You know, I think if you have anybody you can talk with who is involved with various social programs, you might mention it. But I think that it mostly is a thing where if you're looking for things that will help you go back to work full time, and I don't think you want to work.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I would love to work. You wouldn't believe. It was 2 years after I was on Social Security disability from my heart and lungs that I said I'd rather work, and I'd rather go to work and die, but I didn't do it, you know.
Right.
So, and then my other question I have for you is, you know about Rocky, right?
Rocky?
My grandchild?
Yes.
My grandchild,
absolutely.
Rocky. Absolutely. Well, they asked me, I sent them a check. They, you know, these are the two people who... when the baby was born, the nurses asked them, remember I told you, neither one has ever held a baby and neither one has ever fed a baby, you know.
Right.
So now they're concerned. They do not trust. He's 6 months old on September 2nd. They don't trust the baby food because there's been so many recalls on him. They found metal in some and they found other stuff and other baby food. So I sent them a check. And she wants to use a food processor and make their own food.
Right, and puree
it.
My
question to you, do you know of any nutritionists or do you know of any books or anything that have recipes for baby food?
Oh, there's a lot of information free online. Like Homesteading Family has a section on homemade baby food. The Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics has how to make homemade baby food. If your son and daughter-in-law will go ahead and just do a web search, just write baby food, how to make your own, they're going to come up with hundreds of sites that'll tell them.
Okay, you just have to say baby food, how to make your own?
Yeah, just make your own, exactly. And literally, put it into Google. And even Beech Nut, believe it or not, that you know makes pre-made baby food, but they have homemade baby food 101. And, you know, there's so many. So as long as they have a pureer that will puree the food so that the baby can eat it.
Yeah.
And at 6 months, it's not going to be too long where probably soft vegetables will be okay, too. You know, so.
Right, but the food processors will puree it, right?
Well, most do, sure.
Right, because I sent them a check in order to go buy it because they asked if I would help them out with that.
Well, I'm sure that you know, they wouldn't buy anything that wouldn't do it. You know, so, there's an awful lot of people who are doing this. In terms of making homemade baby food, a lot of people, just like there's a lot of people now who make homemade dog food.
Right. And she's a doctor of veterinarian medicine with also with a degree in marine biology, so they're very smart.
Now,
go online and all that.
Let me ask you, because you're a very limited means. She's a doctor and she's a vet. Can't she afford her own food processors?
She only works 3 days.
Okay.
And he works 3 days because he wants to be a very involved father.
Okay, so
and I think that's a dig at me, but they find a babysitter for the other day.
Okay.
Because they're just getting they want to be there for you know, because like I said, he's just. Like I said, he'll be 6 months. So, you know, And like I said, she's just starting the job, too, so.
Sure.
She just got her thing. I think she finally got her doctorate in December.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay, well, good.
But,
That's excellent. And I applaud them for wanting to do their own baby food, and it's really easy to do. So if they just do a web search,
right,
they're going to come up with all of it.
Right. So I will text them that tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what else? I was going to ask you another thing, but I think I'm taking up too much time.
Well, now, so, isn't this week the Kenalog shot?
No, it's tomorrow.
Right, and so you'll call us back and let us know how that went.
Right, because my eyesight is in the crapper for the last four or 5 days. I mean,
sorry to hear that. Well,
so I'll let you know about that.
Okay, good. I'll look forward to it.
And I thank you guys and everybody listening. I thank you guys for helping me.
Absolutely.
And I hope you all have a wonderful week.
You too. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay,
so,
bye-bye.
Yeah, things are sounding good for Rocky, that's for sure. He'll get homemade baby food. I like it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. We've got Cindy in Chicago, and we've got Robert in Stickney going to talk about Jim Lonsberry. All right. Yeah, TV dance shows and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Mama didn't lie. She didn't lie. Mama didn't lie. She didn't lie. Here comes that boy at his friends, making eyes at me again. Do they all think that I'm a toy to be played with by every boy? Will they all do think I will be caught by the wink of an eye? My mama didn't.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. What a wonderfully sublime record. Yeah, Jan Bradley on Chess, 1963. Of course, Curtis Mayfield wrote it. It had to be great, and it was. We'll find out what's going on. Oh, that, by the way, is for Fran. So there you go, Fran. We will get back to you and your calls, and right now find out what's going on in the news on WGN Radio. James, yes, of course, it's Sam Cooke. Bring it on home to me. It's the flip side of having a party, 1962 on RCA, and that's what Lisa in Dundee wanted to hear, and now she has on WGN Radio. John is a first-time caller, and he is in Indianapolis. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Not too bad. I've been listening. I was telling John on the phone before before I got to talk to you that I listen to you every night on the way to a Nexstar station. I work in television operations overnight, so you're a good companion on the way to work.
Oh,
and I
terrific.
Love hearing about all the old radio stories because I'm an old radio guy. I got the itch when I was in high school, and I started working in radio in, 71, 72. So I've been in this business all my life.
Were you always in Indianapolis?
No, I wasn't. I actually worked in a very small station over in Illinois called Robinson. They're the home of the Heath Candy Bar, and they have a Marathon oil refinery. And then I bounced around to several media market radio stations in the Illinois and Indiana area.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorites was a small little station over in Jasper, Indiana. And I was able to go down there, and they pretty much let me do anything I wanted to do. It was wonderful. It was before the consultant thing got started in the 80s. And it was just great. I walked in there, and it's like, I don't know what you were like when you first started off, if you broke a lot of rules. I was a good rule breaker.
Oh,
I went in there, and it's like they had sports, you know, all these old things at the bottom and top of the hour. They read news. They had sports. They had birthdays. And within a matter of probably 2 or 3 months, I got rid of all that and cleared it all up and brought in some sounders and did some things. And it went from and I'm not trying to be egotistic. I'm just telling you the truth. It went from something that was kind of a regional thing to where we got to a point where we had people calling 2 or 3 hours away, which was on the fringe of our signal. And I felt very lucky that I was able to have a chance to do that. I really loved it. I went through the middle 70s where you had the Captain and Tennille and ABBA and all that, the disco era and whatever. And it was just an interesting time for radio. And I got to do a lot of production, a lot of splicing. And of course, there was, you know, there wasn't any digital audio workstations, and you did everything on reel-to-reel tape, and it was like I did reverse echo and phasing with an old Ampex, and it was just a wonderful time.
Yeah.
I think about it often.
So I got to ask.
When you talk about it on the air, it's wonderful.
Got to ask, do you work for TTV?
No. Well, actually, it's one of the few that,
or
that I work with.
Or
yeah, there's
XIN.
A hub there, and there's like... Yeah. I believe there's like 32 to 36 stations there.
Oh,
so I deal with ones in Hawaii, a lot of other ones.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, boy, I remember TTV, which of course is a Bloomington license. It used to be a great little independent owned by Sarkis Tarzian. And I love some of the independent programming. And when I was at WIBC many, many, many years ago, they had an overnight show, Midnight Movies with Mike. And the guy was hilarious. And I thought TTV was just terrific. But Fox 59, which now is XIN, but I think it used to be WHMB. It was one of the only TV stations with a jingle. So I knew the call letters better than I did the dial position.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. I wasn't aware of that. But when were you at WIBC in Indianapolis?
77, 78.
So okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely. When it was Fairbanks, you know, back there when it was still at North North Illinois behind the Stouffer's. So,
I was
going
to say, they used to be a great company for spending money on that station, as I remember. And Didn't they kind of have a cheater box of some sort that allowed the, you know, you're locked in about 10 kilohertz. Didn't they kind of have a cheater box that actually went outside that 10 kilohertz realm? Because I'm telling you, that station sounded absolutely incredible on the AM dial.
Yeah,
it was great.
Dick Smart was the chief engineer, and he had a lot of tricks. But, of course, they had a wonderful 1070 daytime signal, but at night it wasn't quite as good. But that's why they hired me, of course. I had a first phone, and I wanted to work overnight. Hell, the fact that I was a female, I could have had Farsi on that tape, and they'd have hired me. So, Yeah, I did that for a couple of years. Had a lot of fun in Indianapolis. Or as I used to say on the air, India, no place. They never called me on it.
Oh, yeah, well, I hate to say it. That still sticks with the city. I mean, I went into a restaurant with a friend of mine about 6 months ago, and he was from out of town. That was the first thing the guy said to him.
Yeah.
So I kind of chuckled about that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah. I lived at, we used to call it Summit House at 38th and Meridian. And the building is still there.
Yeah,
yes.
I know where that's at.
Yes, exactly. So, good time, and a good friend of mine did afternoons, Chuck Riley, so we used to, in fact, they finally had a rule at the station that we weren't allowed to be in the building at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think
no, he was, they had a great staff there. I mean, who was it? There was Orly Knutson.
Yeah, Orly Knutson. Yeah, he was from K-Fire in Bismarck, and he was there after me. But yes, and Gary Todd did mornings, and Larry Knight and Pete Sullivan both did middays, and then Chuck did afternoons, and Nat Humphreys did evenings, and I did late nights, overnights, and that was the deal.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if you... I was trying to figure out who this was, and maybe you'll know him, maybe you won't. There was a guy that sounded like a hick, but he had a great voice, and he did the market report at noon, but he just, oh my gosh, he had all these jokes up his sleeve, and some of them were just a little bit shady, and it's like it made that farm market report on that station just incredible. And then he interacted with Knutson, and it was just hilarious. They made what might be really dry to people that aren't in the agricultural area find it amusing radio. You wouldn't by any chance
Fred Heckler, I think, was it. No, Heckler was the news guy. But there was a guy, and I'll think of it, who was the sports guy, and I knew him well because I actually judged the pork eating contest at the Indiana State Fair, and that's when I found that's when I found out that politics ruled, because this one guy had like the absolute best. Now, I'm voting for him. No, you can't vote for him. Why not? Well, he's won before. He can't win this year, but he's got the best pork. Didn't matter. So I'm trying to think of what the heck his name was, but he was there forever. And, of course, on WGN was Orion Samuelson, but I'm trying to think of this guy's name. Oh, that's terrible.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
he had a great voice, and he was very funny.
Absolutely. Oh. Yeah, I will think about it. And, because what will happen to me is it will drive me crazy if I can't think of this. Oh, God. Oh, what the heck was that? I can see him just like it was yesterday. And we always used to have conversations. He always said, "You're awfully philosophical for a young gal." And have these conversations about people. But what the heck was his name? Oh, this is terrible. He was the farm director in the 60s and 70s. Oh, man. I can't believe I pulled Fred Heckler's name out of my memory bank, but I'll think about this. It's going to drive me crazy. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, because it'll give me a moment to think about this on WGN Radio. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sad and all alone, you didn't have anyone that you could call your own. I knew you when your heart belonged to only me, but that was many tears ago. Now your love is just a memory.
Yeah, yeah.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Billy Joe Royal, I Knew You When. That was summer 65 on Columbia when they were releasing all this rock and roll since they had fired Mitch Miller. But Bob and Willowbrook wanted to hear it. And actually, Joe South wrote that, which makes a good Billy Joe Royal connection out of Atlanta. But a year before Billy Joe Royal recorded it, Wade Flemons had, I think, just a superior version of that song.
I knew you when.
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 Yeah.
Yeah, I think she's in the Dust. And that actually was a flip side of one of my favorite Wade Flemons records, which also never got much airplay, but That Other Place.
What were you doing in that other place with that other boy on the other side of town?
'64 on VJ, and of course Wade Flemons was with the Salty Peppers that later of course became Earth, Wind, and Fire. So we're talking to John, a first time caller in Indianapolis. So Harry Andrews, that's who it was. Are you still with me? Did I lose John? I don't know. I might have completely lost John. I don't think so. Let me see. Hopefully I didn't, but maybe John has left us. Oh, well, it was nice to hear from him anyway, and I hope he'll call again. But yeah, Harry Andrews, that was the guy. And later in the latter 70s, he had Al Pell as his sidekick. But Harry Andrews. All right. So I'll sleep well knowing that anyway. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh, Robert and Stickney. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh. I was just wondering about this. These are things that just pop in my mind because I don't have any of the state-of-the-art Google and stuff. But I remember a local guy, Jim Lounsbury, used to have a show called Jim Lounsbury's Record Hop.
Well, it was originally, sure. He had three shows. Originally Sock Hop, a Jim Lounsbury Sock Hop, and then Bandstand Matinee, and then The Record Hop. GNTV and
oh,
also...
Oh, Bandstand Matinee, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. And also BKB. And he used to do a lot of hops in Chicago. And, of course, you know, he was on JJD for a while and IND for a while and all that kind of stuff. And then he switched to radio news. I think he was like a UPI, National Radio Report or something. But anyway, he had his own plane and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I remember well. He actually wrote a book, and I've got it somewhere called Hey, Look, I'm on TV was the name of it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he hosted that in that winter party tour. The winter dance party. He hosted a show a few nights before the fateful Buddy Holly crash in Kenosha. So So yeah, absolutely.
I was thinking of something. Oh yeah, your previous you mentioned just a few minutes before. Before you contacted me, a guy named Wade Flemons was maybe a request for later the week or next week. Well, was he the guy that did "Don't Let Go"?
Not the hit. Not the hit. But I think he does have a version of it.
Oh.
No, absolutely. Roy Hamilton, "Don't Let Go."
Oh, Roy Hamilton. Yeah, I hear that whistle. It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah, don't let go. Don't let go. Yeah, exactly. It's Roy Hamilton.
Yeah, okay, yeah, so, yeah, maybe even that for the new future, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All
yeah,
right.
And one other story for a couple of, and I don't want to take up too much time, I know you had a lot of callers, but this is a lady, I don't remember her name, but I know you'll know the song. She really got ripped off as one of those teaching stories. The name of the song was "Let Me Go, Lover."
Oh, well, yeah, you know, that's there's so many stories about her.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it was very interesting how that came to be. And she was a married housewife, actually. It's you're talking about Joan Weber. And she disappeared for a while. They couldn't even find her for any royalties, but there was a real story about her. And she was in a psychiatric hospital for a while.
She
was
part,
in a chloro-
yeah.
right exactly so the yeah. way they came about getting her was different. And anyway, they couldn't find her for years. She was from Paulsboro originally, and she died in Ancora, where she'd been in the hospital. So yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah, yeah, wow. Yeah, something like I say, I probably should have learned it, but I'm 76, so I was just before all this, the things changed in the offices. I couldn't even make it in an office today with, you know, my idea of an office is still like on Perry Mason, you know, typewriters and file cabinet.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. But that was released in 1954, and it was actually a very, very weird thing because it was on a television program, Studio One. And
Westinghouse,
that really caught, you know, it's one of those things that really caught the public's attention. And so and it was a deal where it was Mitch Miller, I hate to say it, but he was asked to for a recording to use at the end of the show, and so he provided this record, which was doing nothing, Joan Weber, Let Me Go Lover. And and then they, you know, they promoted it on radio stations. And like I say, she was pregnant and then she disappeared. And I heard there was spousal abuse, but I don't know. But the weird thing was, is what happened to Joan Weber? And finally, you know, people knew. But it was covered by everybody, Patti Page and Teresa Brewer and Peggy Lee. And Hank Snow has a version of this song, I kid you not.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. I mean, yeah. And, you know, the usual Ann Margaret's and all that. So,
right.
But John said, you have ended the hour, so I will talk to you soon.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thanks.
Raleigh, thanks.
Okay, bye. And that's where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's from a 1964 album on her prize. It might as well be Swing. Frank Sinatra with Count Basie, and I think that Quincy Jones was involved in that album as well. Lyndon Richton Park wanted to hear that and happy to do it. Fly Me to the Moon actually was first entitled In Other Words. It was written in 1954, and the person who first recorded it was Kay Ballard. And she did pretty well with that, actually. That was the first commercial recording, and that was on Decca in 54. But then after that, the floodgates opened. Everybody, whether it was Johnny Mathis or Chris Connor or Nancy Wilson or Edie Gourmet, they all recorded it. In 1960, Peggy Lee released it, and she was the one who convinced the songwriters to formally change the title to Fly Me to the Moon, since that's what everybody was calling it. Connie Francis had a couple of non-English versions of it, but my favorite actually came in 1962 when Joe Harnell decided to do an instrumental with a bossa nova beat.
Thank you.
favorite version, 1962. But as I say, Sinatra on Might As Well Be Swing did a nice version of it on that Count Basie album that Quincy Jones, I think, arranged it. But Quincy Jones had worked with Count Basie the year before on an album for Basie that actually had Fly Me to the Moon on it, an instrumental. And so I guess that's why they thought of adding it for Sinatra. Then Bobby Womack did a version of that. And I think that the song, if you go to Secondhand Songs, which I didn't for this, but I know if you do, you'll see over 300 versions. There's got to be that way. But just a great song. And it was Linda in Richland Park who wanted to hear it, the Frank Sinatra version. So, like I say, 64. 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. And Sam is in Gurnee. All right, Sam, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, thank you and John so much for having me. I pray you're both blessed and having a good night.
Well, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. I was calling with regard to an earlier caller who mentioned Jim Lounsbery.
Yeah.
And I had an encounter, not with Jim personally, because he was long past, but I did a docufilm some years ago, and the subject of the docufilm was in a dance contest down at, it was either the State and Lake Theater or the Chicago Theater. And Jim Lounsbery held a sock hop there, and my buddy, who the docufilm was about, took first place in the dance contest, and he celebrated that he won a case of 7-Up.
Yeah, that'd probably be about right. Yeah.
But anyway, at the time, we were trying to find, putting together the docufilm, we were trying to find some footage. And the reason I was calling was I just found it fascinating what we were able to come up with. We were trying to find some footage, and I asked Barry, I said, you know, I said, do you think any footage of that still exists? He goes, oh, gee, Sam, he goes, I doubt it, but we can, you know, you can try whatever you want to do, we'll try, you know. So I said, well, give me every contact you have. Well, he didn't have any contacts, but he had names.
Right.
But among them was Jim Lounsbery.
Right.
So what happened was I did some research, and I was able to contact Jim's son,
okay,
who lives out west, and
right,
I think it's in Denver. I can't remember right now. That was like 11 years ago.
I know Jim used to live in Tucson before he died, so yeah.
Okay. But his son lived out west,
okay,
and I wrote a letter. I did some research. I wrote a letter. And by surprise, I got a response, and then we spoke on the phone, and I said, you know, I know it's a really long stretch. I said, but my buddy was in a contest, and he won first place, and I gave him the details, and he goes, you know, I'm not sure. He says, there's only a few pieces of footage that survive. There's a museum downtown in Chicago,
yeah,
that he gave me to do some research, and I went down there, and they couldn't come up with anything. He says, but you know what? He said, I have to dig. He said, but I think I have a piece of footage. And he goes, the likelihood of your friend being on there is so slim. He said, but we'll see. So he says, if I can find it, I'll send it to you. So he found it, and he contacted me, and he sent it to me.
Oh, wow.
And it's actually in the docufilm.
Well, that's great.
And by all sakes and purposes, my friend is on the video footage.
That's wonderful. Yeah, there's
yeah, and it
far
was such a
little
wonderful part. Pardon me?
I say there's far too little of that, you know, and you can go to YouTube and occasionally, depending on which host or where you were, you can see a little Jim Lounsbery, or, you know, you can see if you're in D.C., you can see Milt Grant or in Baltimore, Buddy Dean, but there's far too little of it.
Yeah, and there was an actress there that night that sponsored the event or came and spoke, and I think it was Linda Darnell.
Uh-huh, that Linda Darnell clip is on YouTube.
Yeah, so he's in that clip. So we were able to, with his permission, we were able to include that in the documentary, but I just wanted to share it because I found it fascinating that we would come across that.
Oh,
and when I showed it to him,
yeah,
it was like, you know, overjoyed and tears and all that kind of stuff. And It was just such a beautiful thing, and I just wanted to share it.
No, that's wonderful. I'm looking at that clip right now as we talk, and there's Linda Darnell. She's wearing a full-length mink, and that's hilarious, and a hat. Yeah. Oh, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, the hat's just a real piece of work. But, yeah, full-length mink. And so is she going to bring on your friend and give him the prize?
Yeah, well, it's a short clip, but if the guy with the tall guy with the big hair, that's my buddy.
Okay. All right.
And his name was Barry Bruner, and I sadly didn't know about it, but I learned about it afterwards, and that was through Lounsbury's son. I learned that Linda Darnell actually perished in like a fire or something.
Yeah.
And I wasn't aware of that, you know, and it made me sad to learn that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think she died like in 65. She was only about 40. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't even familiar with her before before he had shared.
Yeah.
But after I learned about her, I did a little research, and then I learned about the details of her demise and stuff.
Yeah.
And so anyway,
she was at a friend's house or something, and it caught on fire. And
I think
she
was in like Glenview or something.
Yeah, that was just horrible. But she was definitely in her 40s. She's got a star on the Walk of Fame and all that kind of stuff. But it was she was burned like pretty much everywhere. She didn't last very long.
Yeah.
But she and her friend had been up all.
Sad.
Yeah, it was.
I believe it was Glenview, Illinois. Or
wow.
I think Glenview.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that was.
I'm sorry.
That was not pretty. But yeah, okay. Well, I just saw the clip and I did not see a friend, so it must be another clip. I'm going to keep looking. I'll bet you it'll be on YouTube. All right. Good deal.
All right, thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. All right. Good memories. It's fun when you can actually come up with something like that. And considering how little exists from these periods, you know, because if it was on videotape, you're talking 2-inch videotape. And the reason that wasn't around was because it was so expensive that everybody would just reuse it. No one would actually preserve it. And that's why Johnny Carson pitched a fit when he was moving the show, The Tonight Show, to Los Angeles and discovered that everything wasn't preserved, that almost nothing comparatively was preserved. And that's, you know, when he said, no, every bit of it will be preserved from here on out. But it was, especially on these dance shows, if they were in any way on tape. Now, earlier they might have been on Kinney, but kinescopes didn't last very well, especially if they weren't stored well. And so, but there's a lot of Jim Lounsbury, so including Fox Deluxe Beer. Oh, well, that'll be fun. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And what are we doing here? I believe Cindy in Chicago has been hanging on a while. What's up, Cindy?
I had heard of this before where you could, because I'm on SSDI, where you could be on SSI and SSDI, but then I heard don't do it because you could be kicked off of SSDI and then just be on SSI, and then I wouldn't be able to have my brokerage account. I don't even think I'd be able to have my condo I don't know.
It doesn't sound like you would qualify for SSI no matter what. Your assets are too high.
No.
So it's a moot point.
Yeah, I just was asking.
Yeah.
But the other thing I wanted to bring up that kind of is very weird and disturbing to me, you know, I don't know if this is too serious, but like this issue with that one man with who has problem with his sight brought up that about the baby food. Well, that's been publicized for 30, 40 years. And I'm like, well, we can send people to outer space.
Right. Different things at different times. But the bottom line is that, if you have the wherewithal and can make the food, you're much better off.
But why would people sell that?
Well,
obviously
the manufacturer of the food don't expect it to be a problem. It's just like the recalls you hear now on this or that or the other thing, that they're not trying to sell something that's going to be problematic. It's just there have been some recalls. And then in terms of quality, there's many people who look at commercially produced food, whether it's baby food or any food, and say, I don't want to eat those ingredients. I'd rather make it myself. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Okay, well, and then the other thing that is an ongoing thing. It's been publicized for 30, 40 years that flea collars can kill your cat or dog. And I guess my cousin in West Palm Beach, she always had a house full of cats.
Right. Well,
and she was getting up in years, and she put flea collars on two of her cats, and they died a horrible death right in front of her.
Well, it's usually, in terms of the collars, it's usually because the ingredients can be tremendously toxic if they're ingested, and so that's the biggest problem. But yeah, a lot of the preparations to protect you from ticks and fleas can be absolutely a problem. Some can cause seizures and things of that nature. And you will read from time to time that one of the popular products will be linked to, you know, a couple thousand pet deaths and all that. So absolutely there are issues. So, you know, again, some breeds are more specifically problematic with it. But the bottom line is that if the dog or the cat is able to eat the flea collar, you got big problems, and it's not meant to be eaten.
Okay.
So that's the biggest thing. But there are other products that are just questionable.
Well, I kind of do this in my own way. I don't eat too much, you know. I eat more, you know. That's pretty much why I stayed in this neighborhood for all my ethnic stores, where I could get imported food from like Europe.
Right.
And like my pasta, I don't know the name of it, but it's from Italy, from the one store, and when it's done. But I don't, you know, I'm making a chicken paprikash pretty soon,
nice.
Coming up, and I'm going to make my own dumpling. Basically, I make Hungarian food, German food, Polish food, Italian food,
and
I'm trying to get into Greek food.
Well, there are plenty of recipes, and gosh knows you're in a big city. There's plenty of places to get the ingredients, so knock yourself out.
Okay, and what else did I want to say? In the condo, it's making me very upset.
What? What's the latest?
The one woman is fighting with these ethnic people that live in. They're lovely people. They're the most educated people in the condo.
Well, does it affect you directly?
Yes, it makes me very upset because I'm afraid to go down to the laundry room. Like, I'm going to do something.
You're afraid that something will happen to you?
And I'm going to get beat up emotionally, and I can't take that.
Oh, brother. I can't help you.
I mean, it's just the meanness. And I just, you know, I bought these people. I said, she's this ethnic woman. I don't, you know, she's busting her butt to take care of twins.
Right, well, whatever. The bottom line is, when you're in a communal setting, some people will not get along with other people. That's just the way it is. But don't make it your problem.
Yeah.
Don't make it your problem.
Well, I mean, they're just.
It doesn't matter. Don't make it your problem. That's it. Truly. You got to, you know, like I say before, you need Thinkers Anonymous. You just do not stop thinking. You will find something to worry about, be concerned about, whatever. This is not your problem. So ignore it.
I bought that apartment washer, and I might, you know, we haven't had a chance to hook it up yet. It's just, it's just very petty to me. There just seems to be bigger problems.
Yeah. Well, I would agree that, yes, if you're living somewhere where you don't have your own facilities, that is problematic by definition. But you knew that going in.
Yeah, it's really lovely here. And everyone is lovely.
Help.
And
right.
It's just a lovely place. The loveliest condo.
Very nice.
I found. The same condo in Norwich would be $100,000 more, and it's just right over the border.
Just enjoy yourself. Don't worry about anything. Trust me. It doesn't matter. All right. Thanks. Good luck. Ah, man, I tell you what, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, I think if you have a problem in your life, you can probably sell it to Cindy. She'll worry for you. 888-ROLLYE. I don't remember. Yeah, it's been so long, I don't remember if I took a break. So I'll take one now on WGN Radio.
I've ordered some rain for tomorrow. The sky will be sunny but wet. And out of nowhere you're suddenly there. And I say, pardon me, haven't we met? I've ordered some sunshine with showers, and I've got my scenery set. Right there with a thumb, our umbrella's gonna bump. And I'll say, pardon me, haven't we met? Accidents can happen, and into one I'm gonna slide. There's a good chance in finding romance when two hearts collide. Just how it happened when Romeo met Juliet. Somewhere I've read Romeo said, hey baby, pardon me, haven't we met?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, so yesterday, talking with Carl in Riverside, I said I'd play my favorite Kenny Rankin record, and there it is. It was a flip side on a 45, 1966 on Columbia, never made it to an album or anything. It was Haven't We Met, and I thought it was just a terrific record. Now, Carl kind of favored that 1977 Little David album, and he mentioned several times House of Gold. So not necessarily my favorite cut from the album, but certainly not bad, and here was it.
People steal, they cheat and lie for wealth and what it can buy. Don't they know on Judgment Day gold and silver gonna melt away? I'd rather be in a deep dark grave and know that my poor soul was saved than to live in this world in a house of gold. Deny my God and doom my soul. What good is gold and silver too when your heart's not pure and true? Sinner, hear me when I say, fall down on your knees.
The 1977 album, just the Kenny Rankin album, was actually really nice, and it was on Little Darlin', which was George Carlin's label. And like I mentioned, he did an alternate version of On and On. Of course, Stephen Bishop had the hit, but at the same time, they actually poured it out on a 45 as well, and I thought the Kenny Rankin version was just terrific.
Down in Jamaica, they got lots of pretty women. Steal your money, then they break your heart. Lonesome Sue, she's in love with old Sam. Take him from the fire into the frying pan. On and on, he just keeps on trying. And he smiles and he feels like crying.
Yeah, it was a nice album in 77. Now, the other song that Carl had mentioned actually came from Like a Seed, which was a 1972 Kenny Rankin album, and that was String Man.
There's a man I know who's got a heart so full of joy, it can make you fly. There's a man I know who's got a soul so
make you cry. He is a string man, yes he is, and he talks to you with his music. He makes love.
So rest in peace, Kenny Rankin. Been gone since 2008, I think. It was lung cancer. He was diagnosed and then died literally within in weeks of it. But he was on Little Darlin', which was, I mentioned, George Carlin's label, and from 72 to 77, released several albums from Like a Seed through the Kenny Rankin album, which Don Costa was involved in. But sadly, he had beat his own drug addiction. He was checked into Phoenix House for a while. But on tour with Carlin, back to cocaine. And I think that he was using till he died, sadly. So, yeah, I think he died. He was diagnosed, it might have been 2009. In any event, yeah, rest in peace, Kenny Rankin. So all that was for Carl. 888-876-5593. Sherry is in Naperville. How are you, Sherry?
Sherry, you're off. Okay. Right now.
All right. So I don't know where Sherry went, but we'll put Sherry on hold here for a moment. That's all right. We'll get back to Sherry. Don't go away, Sherry. And she'll be by her phone next time. And Laura is in Willowbrook. So hello, Laura. No, Laura's going.
Hi, Riley.
There you are. Okay. Thought we lost you completely.
I'm sorry. I had you on speaker until you came back.
All right.
Okay,
what's up?
But now you're off.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to tell you some good news. I've been missing you for 2 months because I was in rehab.
And, really?
I want to just tell you a short story. Yeah.
What kind of rehab? What were you doing?
Well, I was getting my strength back.
Yeah?
Do you have 1 minute to hear a weird story?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you never know what's going to happen. It's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to me. I'm driving in the neighborhood on a blind hill, and the blind hill caught me and this other driver, and we bumped cars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, mind you, this is nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
I was not hurt. The other person was not hurt. I got out of the car. I says, well, here's my insurance card. Here's my driver's license. Next thing I know, I'm in the hospital. I say, well, how the heck did I get here?
Someone ran into you.
Well, this says, well, you passed out. Oh. I said, I did. I said, I didn't remember a thing.
Right.
So after all this craziness, they come to find out I'm lacking in so many vitamins. Now I'm getting a treasure chest full of vitamins. I've never honestly taken vitamins in my life.
All right. So now, wait, let me back up. So in other words, no car did hit you. What happened was you just passed out on the scene?
No, I'm sorry. Another car and myself, the two cars, I met in the, car and I collided.
Okay, so there
the
was
two
a,
cars.
Right, but after that collision, you say you got out of the car and you were feeling all right. Did you pass out?
Yeah. Well, that's what they claim. I was giving my vital information for insurance purposes and all that.
Wow.
And they says, when I got to the hospital, I wasn't wake up in the hospital. They're like, well, you passed out. I said, I did. I guess there was a whole bunch of witnesses.
Well, okay, so vitamin deficiency and electrolyte deficiency is one thing, but were there any other diagnoses?
Well, not that I know of. I have heart failure. Somebody says maybe that has something to do
with
it,
too. Oh, my
too.
God, yeah. Know. Now, if you have heart failure, I would worry about your electrolytes. I mean, obviously, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the radio, but that's the first thing I think of because very often there can be potassium issues.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, they've got me with potassium for sure.
Right. Well, that would do it alone. That alone could do that.
I had no idea. So it's like everybody should get their vitamin deficiencies checked. Just to make sure every time you go to the doctor.
Well, the other thing is if you're
the whole thing.
If you're on any medication, you want to find out if there is the potential. Like there's many different medicines that will cause you to have a potassium deficiency. It's important, you know, to find out what all of that might be. But sure, in your case, I would think more it was electrolytic than, like, say, a low vitamin D or C or something. But, you know, I'm no doctor. But, absolutely that should be monitored. If you're in heart failure, you're on some heavy duty drugs.
Yeah, and I've got drugs that monitor it really well, and as far as I know, it doesn't really affect me, but maybe it's things that affects you and you don't know it's affecting you, you know?
Of course.
And well, yeah. The reason I was in rehab for 2 months, they're like, it gave me low energy. So they said, well, you've got to, I'm big on just eating one big, huge meal a day. They says, no, that doesn't work
either.
Yeah,
that's not
right.
You've
got to break them into little three small meals a day, not this one big thing, you know?
Right.
So finally, there's like, well, you got to walk up 29 stairs. There's no way in heck you're going to have energy to walk up 29 stairs. So that's the reason I was stuck in rehab for 2 months.
Oh,
but
my God.
I didn't get to listen to you at all, and I missed y'all.
Oh, man. Well, now, let me ask you, for your heart failure, are you on a diuretic?
That's a good question.
See, right there, if you are, you want to have your potassium measured regularly.
Okay.
Because that's very common with the diuretics, and very common that people with heart failure are, in fact, taking that. And, you know, there's all sorts of things. You want to make sure that the level is not elevated, and you want to make sure, of course, that it's not too low. So, by all means, have that regularly measured. Now, so you did for 2 months, you did therapy, and so you regained some strength, hopefully.
Yes, I'm able to... 29 stairs is where I live. No elevator. And I'm now doing 29 stairs. I probably could do 50 or 60 at a time. So I'm getting lots of energy, you know?
Excellent. And that's good exercise.
Yes. But I was bad as I get. I missed y'all. I feel silly just for a vitamin deficiency or whatever.
Man, I tell you, people don't realize it. But if you're talking about an electrolyte imbalance, that can actually be fatal. So, you absolutely want
to... I'm glad to hear that, because I hadn't heard that.
Well, I'd like to beat up your doctors. So you probably want to have a little more conversation with them. And for God's sake, stay hydrated. You know, people, for the most part, live on almost borderline, deficiency that way. They're dehydrated, and that's not healthy. So even when you don't want to, consume water.
Well, I'm glad you said that, too, because I've been improving that 100% because I was bad on that, too, so that doesn't help.
Well, and you know, that's the other thing. People think, it's just dehydration. That doesn't mean much. It can be terrible. These are the little things that, you know, strangely, they're so easy to fix. But if you don't fix them, you can have huge problems. So, yes, stay hydrated. And, as I say, depending on what you're taking, it can raise or lower potassium levels. And so get your electrolytes checked regularly.
Will do. Well, I appreciate it. I got another doctor appointment this week, so I'll let you know about it.
Yeah, absolutely do, and talk to them about it and get as much advice as you can. But that's great that you were doing the PT and that it worked.
Yes.
All right.
Feeling better than before the accident.
I'll bet you are.
I appreciate everything.
Absolutely. Right. Well, good to have you listening. I can't wait to hear about the results. All right. So,
all right. Take care.
Yeah. 888-876-5593. So interesting when they are an easy fix, like drink more water or exercise more, whatever. We tend to, I'll do that some other time. And man, it can put you behind the eight ball quicker than you can imagine. We'll get to Fran, and we'll try for Sherry again, too, I hope, on WGN Radio. Oh, so Adam says, I'm sorry, it's my turn. All right, well, we'll forego the bumper. And I'll talk to Sherry from Naperville if she's by the phone at the moment. Are you there, Sherry?
I am here.
Okay, what's up? What's up?
Oh. I wanted to mention what I was just speaking. Sorry. When you first summoned me, I had that urge to go to the girls' room.
All right.
But at any rate, the guy, Jim, who I loved his story last week when he was in the waiting room for a stress test and the lady he really can't see, and I think it was with his brother. It was just such a heartwarming story, and the mom was 100 years old, and he thought she was only 80. I love that. I got so much joy out of that story. But now, tonight, he was talking about voting
and how hard it is for him to see, because I know he has a hard time, and whatever drug they gave him to go course through his veins, he could see for 15
All right,
minutes.
So he's gonna get an absentee ballot.
Amount of time. But anyway, the voting, when we voted in 2020, because it was during COVID, we asked for mail-in ballots.
Right.
Not permanent, but
right.
mail-in ballots. And you could go to the city hall or whatever right. they do it.
It's different in every state and county.
Yeah, it is.
But being disabled, he can do that.
Naperville is a bigger yeah. city, apparently, or community than he's in, if he says it's a small town. We have like 200 or 220,000-ish. Yeah. And I just want him to know that, they always have, like, multiple everything. And I filled in a wrong oval. And I walked back up to the girl, and I said, I made a mistake. And she ripped it up, and she gave me a new one.
Good.
So I shouldn't be worried about that part. But they were only in Naperville, as big as it is, and this is why I'm saying the 200 to 220,000.
I got a minute left.
We had like 3 drop boxes. So if he's in a really small town, they may not have one. And then you got to make sure you sign that.
Oh, of course. Outside. Right, of course. Every county, even those that try not to do mail-in ballots, have provisions for somebody who is disabled. So he just needs to, you know, call his registrar, you know, whether it's the recorder's office.
But
or the
I
registrar.
Just wanted to make the point that yeah. if he makes a mistake, he can tell someone, ask for a new one,
yeah.
and maybe they'll help him fill in the oval he wants to be filled in.
Well, there you go.
And then he can check it.
All right.
I mean, the girls at our city hall are wonderful. They would do that because I have to ask for a chair to sit down because I can't stand that long to vote.
Okay. Sounds
right.
good.
And what was the other thing I want to say? Was it Cindy that was worried about
using
people of other ethnicities?
About people in her building getting upset with people of other ethnicities. That was her issue.
Well, the thing is, we live in a condo that was originally an apartment, but they became condos. But yet they have a provision you can rent out a unit. And we have 1, 2, 3 Muslim families. And I have learned so much about Ramadan and Eid and Eid,
yeah, right.
something
yeah,
else.
Yeah, both Eid, like greater and lesser Eid. But you've run out of time tonight, so call me again and
no,
I'll
I'm
go.
Sorry.
I'll try to get
but,
to you sooner.
But it's all wonderful if yeah. you learn more about the other person.
Well, of course. No, her issue was people
Don't
in her
afraid.
Building who were, yeah. She's
Don't
not,
be afraid, Cindy.
She's not afraid of them. She's afraid of the people beating up on them. All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so on that note, yeah. All right, well, you know, we have 3 hours tomorrow night, and that's 21 hours from right now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm sorry, Fran. Call me, and James, call me back tomorrow night. We'll do it. We'll do it to it for sure. And, well, assuming this full moon week continues to not be a problem, all those people with their dire predictions, we all seem to be fine, and that is good news. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling it. Makes the show a pleasure to do, so do it tomorrow night. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.